it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Last night here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, the Orioles offered up some serious late-inning magic, rallying from an 8-1 deficit, but eventually falling by a run against the Astros. Tonight, they bid to even the score in Game 2 of a three-game series. Welcome here to the pregame show. I'm Pete Mischel alongside Ben McDonald. Tim Jones, our producer-engineer, as we get ready for baseball here tonight. The Orioles ready to send out right-hander Chris Tillman at 1-5. He'll be opposed tonight by Colin McHugh, making his season debut. A light rain falling here at the ballpark. The tarp is on the field. We will not have a 7:05 start tonight, but hoping for the weather front to move through the area and baseball coming up hopefully a bit later on tonight here in downtown Baltimore. Coming back in a moment here on the Orioles Radio Network, Ron Kabatko of Masson sits down and visits with Orioles skipper Buck Showalter on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, 5-run ninth inning certainly made things interesting last night. We'll kind of go from the positive side first. How encouraging was it that the club rallied that way, down 8-2, to get to the point where you're one run down with two outs to go?
Well, it was a good thing, obviously. But people think that, well, if we had scored less, let them keep from scoring less runs, they would have had different pitchers in the game. We all know how that all goes, but it was good. And we knew we were going to be challenged with Fires. He's a good pitcher. And like I said after the game, it's one thing to know exactly what he's going to do and him still do it. That's why they're where they are. They have good starting pitching. You're going to see another one tonight, McHugh coming off the disabled list. But, he pitched real well. That was probably the difference in the game, was we weren't able to do anything. Plus, we obviously had some problems early on. But we got through the last part of the game with our bullpen intact. But still one swing away. There's a time in that game you probably could have really caught a lot of people by surprise to tell them we were going to have the tying run at the plate.
And I know you're got to be getting tired of Ubaldo Jimenez questions, and it happens after every start here. Since that great outing in Toronto, the last four have not been close to that level. We've talked about, you get asked about the bullpen. Is that an option again? It's really not a fit for a variety of reasons. Right now, you don't really have a spot because Miguel Castro is pitching so well. So what can be done right now with Ubaldo?
Pitch better. Command of the fastball has been a challenge for him, for a while, and last night was an example. And nobody's trying harder than him, and nobody, trying's one thing. It's just, we got to execute it. And he goes through periods where he does. He ended up pitching around five innings last night, but the first two innings really was an energy drag early on, especially as good as Fires was. You really don't like to get down there, but our guys have done a good job of battling back through it, but, put us in a hole early, obviously. But he's going to have to pitch better for us to get where we want to go.
And when you check at AAA, possible starting options, there are a lot of guys with the same high ERAs. Could we see Jason Aquino again? Could he get another shot? I know his last start Thursday gave up one run in six innings.
Well, Jason's probably pitching as well as any of them. Tyler Wilson had a good outing last night. Mike Wright threw in the Gulf Coast League today. After that game, he was optioned, taken off the DL and optioned to AAA. So he's going to be active down there. I'm not sure how Dan's going to use him there. So hopefully we'll talk about that at some point, but there's some options there. But right now my focus is on, as Rogers is trying to figure out a way to make Ubaldo more consistent.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, Caleb Joseph had a couple more hits last night. Wellington Castillo in the lineup tonight. He's been swinging the bat much better. Are you almost to the point now where you're comfortable kind of just alternating these two guys because they're both hitting the ball so well and kind of keeping them fresh in this heat?
Well, that's kind of what we're doing, and I'm sure that's what you're alluding to, that we're fortunate to have two catchers that are swinging the bat well and catch well enough to be up. Everybody's got things that they're a little better at than somebody else. Ubaldo's so slow the plate, nobody can throw those guys out. He goes through periods where he holds runners a little quicker, and then all of a sudden he goes slow. So, whoever catches when he pitches is going to have a low throwout percentage, unfortunately. But, both of them we're going to take advantage of, and they both pull for each other, have a great relationship with each other, and we'll continue to, if we can catch them both a lot, like you said, it'll make them a lot fresher this time of year.
Astros starting Colin McHugh tonight. It's his first start of the season. He had five rehab assignment starts. He had an elbow impingement. Even with a full scouting report on him, can you really be comfortable about what you can expect when a guy's making his first start coming off an injury?
Well, I think so. He's going to pitch like he has. He, you know, this guy won 19 games in 2015, so he's got a pretty good – you got a pretty good idea what he's going to try to do to be successful. And if you watch how they pitch everybody, you know, it's a kind of – philosophical thing for their whole pitching staff, with the exception of their bullpens. But, you know, they're a breaking ball oriented team, and that won't change with him.
I'm going to take this last one another direction here. You're scheduled to join Dan Duquette later this afternoon. Season ticket holders or Q&A, State of the Orioles. What would be the one question you would anticipate would be the most popular question coming from fans to you guys, and would you have an answer already prepared for that?
I don't go into this prepared with any of that stuff. It's spontaneous with me, and I enjoy the time with the fans, and it's a time for them to, you know, it's not like it's filtered or what do they call it, censored. You know, what's your question? Okay, you can ask that. I don't want it that way. I want to be able to talk about anything that's on their mind that they talk about around the dinner table or in the den while they're watching a game or here. So I haven't really thought about it, and whatever they hear from me will be spontaneous and from the heart.
Probably something involving the trade deadline, you think? There might be some curiosity?
Well, I don't know. I hope so. I hope that they care about the Orioles and they're curious about what we're going to do or not do, because I am too.
Thank you, Bucks. To kick it back upstairs.
All right. Thank you, Ron Kabatko with Buck Showalter talking about last night's game and what to expect here tonight as the Orioles and the Astros get ready for the middle game of a three-game series. Well, of course, the Astros, a formidable opponent. They have the best record by far in the American League, a powerhouse lineup, and among the young talents on the ball club, Alex Bregman, a number two overall draft pick just a few years ago out of LSU. Our own Ben McDonald spoke with him. You're going to hear from those two coming up in a few moments as we continue here on the pregame on the Orioles Radio Network. Back once again here as the light rain continues falling. The tarp on the field in Baltimore as we await the start of play tonight between the Orioles and the Astros in Game 2 of this series. The Orioles, despite the loss last night, have won four of their last five. Tonight they face a Houston team that has the best record by far in the American League and the second best mark in all of baseball. A number of fresh, exciting new faces on the club, among them Alex Bregman, who made his Major League debut just about a year ago. He's the number two overall draft pick out of LSU, just two seasons back. And when we come back in a moment here on the Orioles pregame show, a couple of former Bayou Bengals, Ben McDonald and Alex Bregman, will sit down and chat about his coming up to the major leagues, the transition from college, and playing for perhaps the best team in baseball right now. That's up next on the Orioles pregame on the Orioles Radio Network.
Ben McDonald here on the Orioles pregame show. The Astros took Game 1. Orioles will try to even the series tonight in Game 2 here at Camden Yards. Sitting with Alex Bregman, the starting third baseman for the Houston Astros tonight. He was the second overall pick in the 2015 draft, fast-tracked it to the big leagues, minor league player of the year last year. And about this time last year, got called up for the first time. So it's been now just a little over a year in the big leagues. Alex, first of all, let's talk about some adjustments from college baseball. Obviously, you know, you did everything there was to do at LSU, saw a lot of good pitching in the SEC. But let's talk a little bit about the difference between the pitchers you face in college, maybe the pitchers you face in the minor leagues, and what you see day in and day out here at the big league level.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference. Starting in college, you're going to see probably 88 to 90 miles an hour every night, probably one, maybe two pitches that they could throw for a strike whenever they want. And then you get into professional baseball in the minor leagues, and guys have elite stuff, and they are working on commanding their stuff. Not necessarily in the strike zone, but in places where they want to pitch and where they need to pitch. And as a hitter, you have to constantly adjust. You're going to see guys throwing sinkers, or you're going to see guys throwing four seamers that kind of feel like they rise on you. So you kind of have to adjust your bat path to who you're facing. And I mean, the guys in the big leagues are the best of the best. They can command their all their pitches where they want to in whatever count they want. And they have an identity as a pitcher. They know who they are. They know if they're a sinker ball guy. They know if they're a four seam guy. And that's why they're so successful.
Now, are you taking a lot of notes, watching a lot of video? Because obviously you've been through the league one time, maybe several times on some guys. Are you trying to put some notes in the back of the mind a little bit on how certain guys are pitching you and maybe how you can make certain adjustments on guys, I mean, early in your career?
Yeah, definitely. You kind of get a sense of how different teams try and attack you, different catchers try and attack you, and you can kind of get a feel for what you're going to see on a nightly basis when you play against those guys. And like you said, facing the guys in this league for the second time around, I kind of have a better idea of what they're trying to do, how they're trying to attack me, and I've had to make a few adjustments and working every day to get better.
All right, you've been a starting third baseman last year and all this year. Obviously, you came up as a shortstop your whole career, high school, college, all the way through, and then you get put at third base, and you've done a heck of a job over at third base. Now, Correa's gotten hurt, going to be out for a while. You played shortstop last night. Sounds like you may play a little bit more shortstop. What kind of adjustments are you going to have to make being at third base and now going back to the shortstop position? What's different about those two positions for you?
Well, playing third base so much this year, gotten used to the ball getting on you a little bit quicker and not necessarily having to move your feet as much, just trying to put yourself in the best position to keep the ball in front and make a play on the baseball. At shortstop, you really got to move your feet. You got to put yourself in a good position to make a good throw to first base. And there's also a lot of other responsibilities over there with turning the double play and just getting back in the rhythm of that. But I feel comfortable over there. Took some ground balls the past few days at short, and looking forward to playing a lot of shortstop here in the next few months.
What's it feel like? I mean, you guys, obviously the Astros having an outstanding season. If my math is right, you guys are 32 games over 500 now, which is just an incredible number. What's it like to come to the ballpark every day knowing you guys got a real chance to win and, of course, a real chance of being in the playoffs as well?
It's fun, man. You show up to the yard every single day thinking you're going to win the game, and you really root for your teammates, and it's a fun environment that we've created here, and you're excited to show up to the yard every day. Like you said, 32 games above 500 is not something you see all the time, and we have an opportunity to do something really special this year, and hopefully we can continue to play good baseball all the way through the playoffs.
Here's one for you. Favorite ballpark to you? I mean, you've seen a lot of the ballparks now in a little over a year. How's Camden Yards stack up for hitting? You like to hit here?
I'd say Camden Yards, besides Minute Maid Park, is my favorite place to play in the big leagues. I love it here. It's got to be up there with almost everybody's top five places to play, and I just love playing here. I see the ball well. The fans are into the game. They know the game, and it makes for a fun time.
And you got some ties here. Pops is from around here somewhere, huh?
Yeah, my dad's from Bethesda, Maryland. Grew up a big Orioles fan. Came to a bunch of games. Him and about 40 of his high school football team will be here in left field today screaming at me from out there, and hopefully can hit him one.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. Alex Bregman, folks, one of the rising stars in Major League Baseball for sure. Keep an eye on him. We got the first pitch coming up shortly.
All right, that's Ben McDonald with Alex Bregman, who, in fact, will be starting at shortstop once again tonight for the Houston Astros. This is the Great Clips pregame show. Next time, save time with the new online Check It app from Great Clips. No more waiting around, because now we'll be waiting for you. Download our free app today, Great Clips. It's going to be great. More in a moment here on the Orioles Radio Network. Chief Bishop Ben McDonald back here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Better than 32,000 on hand tonight. Well, it's another victory for the Astros. An 8-4 win over the Orioles tonight. Baltimore had all the momentum seemingly in their corner after a pair of two-run home runs in the fifth inning from Adam Jones and Jonathan Scope. But the Astros answered back with a five-run sixth, highlighted by home runs from Gurriel and Gonzalez. And then their bullpen, Ben, really put the clamps on the Birds. Baltimore did not have another hit in this game after Jonathan Scope's homer in the fifth inning.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, Chris Tillman did not pitch that bad at all. I felt like he got through the first couple innings and he established his breaking ball and his fastball, and he looked really good. But there in the fifth inning, you know, Houston gets four hits in a row, including two off of Tillman. One was a two-run homer by Gurriel, and that's kind of what did it. You know, and then you'll get O'Day that comes in. They get a couple of hits off of him as well. But what I liked about Tillman's outing, he didn't walk a batter tonight, which is big for him. He's had command issues throughout the year. He walked four, even on a good start last time. No walks and five strikeouts, which is a giant step in the right direction for him. The Orioles really never threatened tonight other than the fifth inning. And you mentioned they got one hit in the first inning. the fifth inning was a great inning, and you get a two-run shot, of course, Adam Jones, and a two-run shot by Jonathan Scope, but then not another hit the rest of the way. Francis Martez comes in, the young reliever, 21 years old for the Astros, and then he just shut down the Orioles. He goes two and a third, doesn't allow a hit, strikes out two. Gregerson comes in, does his thing. He punches out two, and then Musgrove there at the end. So, you know, Astros are just – a good team. I mean, they're good all the way around. There's nothing that they don't do well. And when you face a team like this, you got to be on your game. And the Orioles just couldn't threaten enough to do it. Astros now in two games against the Orioles, they've got 16 runs on 31 hits in two games. They continue to pound the baseball. So, bottom line, Orioles, 10-game homestand here. 10th game is tomorrow. They're 4-5. If they can find a way to win tomorrow and go 5-5, I think it's a step in the right direction and kind of gets them off on the road trip. You know, with a chance to chase down one of these wild card positions, I think Dylan Bundy is going to have to be giant. His young career hadn't been around a whole lot of time, but he needs to be big for the Orioles, and they desperately need to win and split this 10-game homestand and go 5-5.
Yeah, especially with the big series opening up in Tampa Bay on Monday night. And to get back to talking about Chris Tillman, as you were a moment ago, we should note that Chris was actually in line for the win when he left the game. Even though he gave up the home run, he still had the lead when he came out of the contest.
No, I did. I thought he pitched well. And it's hard to say because he didn't get through six innings. But all in all, you know, he makes the one mistake to Gurriel and he hits it opposite way for a home run. But that's the Astros. I mean, they are so deep. When you have 11 guys on your roster with 10 or more home runs and the way they bank it, there is not a weak spot in that. There's nowhere as a pitcher that I can look in that lineup and I can say, okay, let me catch my breath here. Let me just make a couple of pitches that I can get out of it. The Astros are that deep. They're that dangerous. And so when you face a team like that, you got to have your A game. And the Orioles, you know, just couldn't do it consistently enough from a pitching standpoint. And look, give the Houston Astros. We talked about how good their pitching staff is. It's the fourth best pitching staff in the American League, and they really shut down the Orioles for the most part tonight, other than the fifth inning.
And in that fifth inning, Jonathan Scope hitting another home run, a two-run blast. He leads the ball club in home runs this year. That was his 21st of the campaign. He now has 16 RBIs over his last six games. Those are staggering numbers.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Scope, he continues to amaze. We saw him a lot last year batting in a different spot, but now in the three-hole, and the way he's still turning around pitches, he is hot. He's swinging it well. Manny Machado's swinging it well, too. You know, and even production at the bottom of the lineup, you know, I really felt like even down at the bottom, I felt like Wellington Castillo, you know, didn't have his best game, but Ruben Tejada continues to impress down in the nine-hole. So I still like the Oriole offense. It wasn't what we had been seeing throughout the Rangers series and really in the last night's game. But all in all, I still like the Oriole offense. I think it's explosive enough. I think it's really going to hinge on the pitching for the Orioles. We keep saying that, but the pitching has got to get better for the Orioles.
All right, Ben, thank you so much. We enjoyed it. Despite the outcome, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
All right, thank you, Ben. Time now to look back and check out the highlights from the ball game here tonight. Game two of this series between the Orioles and the Astros. Baltimore tried to rebound from their setback by a run last night, sending Chris Tillman to the mound. And as we discussed a moment ago, he had an outstanding showing this evening. He was opposed by Colin McHugh. We know how good he can be, but we're wondering how good he might be tonight, being that it was his first appearance of the year. He'd been on the DL throughout the entire campaign, was coming off a couple of rehab outings in the minors in the Houston system. This ball game was, in fact, scoreless through the opening four innings as McHugh and Tillman were both putting up some zeros. The scoring ice finally broken for the Astros in the top half of the fifth inning with their leadoff hitter, the shortstop, Alex Bregman. First pitch, fly ball by Bregman. Well hit left center field. Mancini on the run back. That one is going to clear the wall as Trey Mancini could only watch it. Alex Bregman takes one out of here, leading off the fifth inning with an Astros home run. Ben talked with Alex Bregman on our pregame show tonight. And the impressive youngster out of LSU, the number two overall pick just 2 years ago, continues to impress. His ninth home run of the year and 29th run batted in. But Tillman able to bounce back, getting Moran on a bounce out, Mariznick on a strikeout, and then finished off the inning facing the talented all-star George Springer. Here comes the payoff pitch. Fastball, swing and a miss. Nice little run to the outside corner. Springer couldn't get it, and Tillman has his second strikeout of the inning. For Chris Tillman, it would be one of five strikeouts in the ballgame tonight. The Orioles were down 1-0 through four and a half innings of play. But as the rain started to fall in the bottom half of the fifth inning, the Birds' offense, which had mustered but one hit to that point of the game, began to come alive. It began rather casually with a walk to begin the inning to Seth Smith. Then McHugh retired the next two hitters and looked as if he was on the verge of getting out of the frame unscathed, but then had to go back to the top of the orders, or the top of the Orioles batting order, to face center fielder Adam Jones. Smith, a very short lead, being held by Gurriel at first base. And here's the pitch, home swing and a fly ball. That is hammered long and deep to left. That ball is gone. Adam Jones sends that one into retirement. And the Orioles have taken a 2-1 lead. For Adam Jones, the home run is 18th of the year. And that gave Baltimore a 2-1 advantage. The Birds then got a base hit from Manny Machado and then went looking for another hit as they brought up second baseman Jonathan Scope. Scope is struck out, and he hits a high fly ball to left. Jonathan Scope sending one for the seats. That one's out of here. Another two-run blast for the Orioles here in the fifth as Scope sends that ball on a permanent vacation. 4-1 Baltimore. For Scope, his club-leading 21st home run. And the Orioles, on the strength of three consecutive hits, two of them being home runs, taking the lead at that point. Little did we know that would be the last Baltimore hit in the ballgame tonight. McHugh left at that point. Martez came on in relief. And the Orioles, at the end of five innings, had a lead at 4-1. But in the sixth inning, the Astros offense got a one-out double from Josh Reddick. And then first baseman Yuli Gurriel came up. Of course, it's always about starting pitching, and Tillman's got to be the linchpin. And this delivery, a fly ball, well hit the opposite way. That one heading for the wall, and that one is up off the top of the wall. Grabbed as it caroms back in by Smith. The throw onto second base late as Gurriel is in standing, and around to score on the double is Josh Reddick. A long
back once again here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards as the Astros claim an 8-4 win over the Orioles tonight. This is the Browns Honda City postgame show by Happy the umpires with Browns. Now let's hear postgame comments from Orioles manager Buck Showalter.
Good, good. That's another good outing by Chris.
As the call was changed, Gurriel with a two-run blast.
Look as well as he pitched tomorrow.
And that was the end of the night for Chris Tillman. On came Darren O'Day. He was promptly greeted with base hits from Evan Gattis and Carlos Beltran. Then after a strikeout of Bregman, Dave tried to get out of the inning. As Colin Moran came to bat, Moran on a swing fouled the ball up into his left eye. He was forced to leave the game. Marwin Gonzalez came on to take over the at-bat.
A lot of good pitches that,
had a long at-bat, fouling off several pitches, battling O'Day. He eventually won that battle. And O'Day comes home, swinging a fly ball. That's hammered long and deep to right field. That's a fair ball. That's gone. That's a three-run home run.
Hitters, they foul off a lot of those pitches.
Marwin Gonzalez delivers.
In the course of the Astros have taken the lead. But, no, he made
Gonzalez
a lot of good
with his 18th home run of the year, a three-run blast off O'Day.
And
that gave the Astros the advantage for good. As we've noted, the Houston bullpen, after McHugh left the game, absolute dynamite tonight. Martez pitching two and a third, scoreless, hitless innings. Gregerson came on to pitch a scoreless frame, and then Joe Musgrove, his first relief outing of the year, took over in the ninth. Got Mancini on a ground out. Smith on a ground out as well, and then had to face the final out of the night.
Sure, but there's a lot of different. Yeah, it changes the tempo, but you deal with changes in a game and in a season. That's part of what you do, because it doesn't always go. Tempo is scripted. That's the adjustments you make every night, and Darren's real good at that. And
it tumbled into the top of the zone.
Threw a lot of good pitches to him, and they did a couple things to set that inning up too.
As the Orioles go in order. And the Astros win for a second consecutive night.
He's homered now in three straight games. I know he's been hot in certain stretches, but you look at some of the numbers that he's starting to put up now. I mean, just how.
So that is how it ended tonight with the Astros taking game two of this series. That means they've already claimed a series win with just one more game to go. That means they will have won seven of their last nine series by the time all is said and done tomorrow afternoon. But the Orioles still have one more opportunity to claim a win in this series. 135 game time tomorrow. More on that coming up in a few moments. Once again, the totals tonight for Houston, 8 runs on 15 hits, no errors, and 8 men left on. The Orioles, 4 runs, 4 hits, 1 miscue defensively, and 4 men left on base. The win goes to Martinez, now 3-0. The loss to Darren O'Day. His mark now 1-3.
He's very approachable.
And the game time, 3 hours, 28 minutes, not including a 58-minute rain delay for the onset. 32,524 here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards to see you tonight. We'll pause here on the post-game show by Happy with Browns. We're back in a moment to hear from Buck Showalter. In a moment,
Buck Showalter speaking with the media after the ball game tonight. The Orioles falling 8-4 here against the Astros. Introducing the Orioles double.
Back once again here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards as the Astros claim an 8-4 win over the Orioles tonight. This is the Browns Honda City post-game show by Happy with Browns. Now let's hear post-game comments from Orioles manager Buck Showalter.
Good, good. It's another good outing by Chris. Line may not look as well as he pitched tomorrow, but I was real encouraged with Chris's last two outings. That's encouraging. Pitch well. Just couldn't get that sixth inning. Or, you know, Brad had a little trouble there, obviously.
Do you think that O.J. was harmed by the injury delay?
That's, you know, we always reason. He just he made a lot of good pitches. That good hitter who's hitting 300 ticked off, fouled off, what, three or four pitches? You know, quarter of an inch from strikeout or what have you. But that's the difference. I've said many times that the major league hitters, they foul off a lot of those pitches where, you know, can't tell you in the course of a week you can say that's strike three in AAA or AA. But he made a lot of good pitches, and the guy made him keep making them, and finally made a mistake, and he did something with him. He's having a lot of their guys are having big years.
When Darren's going good, you know, he doesn't give up a whole lot of home runs. Is there more elevation right now?
No, it was a breaking ball. He was trying to get in, swing over it, and got too much of the plate. I'm pretty sure. I haven't looked at it, but that's what Wellington said.
Going back to that sixth inning, does just the tempo of it change a game, I guess, just, you know, from the, you know, the overturn home run to, you know, the injury to that long at-bat?
Sure, but there's a lot of different, it changes tempo, but you deal with changes in a game and in a season. That's part of what you do, because it doesn't always go, tempo and scripted. That's the adjustments you make every night, and Darren's real good at that. And, he threw a lot of good pitches to him. And, they did a couple of things to set that inning up, too.
Okay, looking at Alex Scope, and he's homered now in three straight games. I know he's been hot in certain stretches, but you look at some of the numbers that he's starting to put up now. I mean, just how?
Well, it's been fun to watch. I mean, John's a guy that very unassuming. I could tell you three or four stories a day about him that make you smile. He's humble young man and knows where he came from and his family. You know, some people go out and in any walk of life, they have some good fortune come their way. It may be a car, it may be something. Everything John does about his family. And I think everybody really takes a little extra satisfaction when John's doing well because, you know, he deserves it. But, you don't always deserve it, but, you know, he gives himself a chance. So, to see John continue to get better every year and learn from things that he knows he can get. He's very approachable. That's what I love about him. You can approach him about any time. He's not in a mood or something. John's always approachable and always coachable and always looking for help and very respectful of anybody that's trying to help him. Okay, thank you.
That's Buck Showalter speaking with the media after the ball game tonight. The Orioles falling 8-4 here against the Astros.